With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Tuesday, March 19th. Now, for some of you, this may be a very confusing day because I'm about to tell you that this is the first day of spring. However, Mark and I have had many conversations about, wait, what isn't it supposed to be the 21st? Well, no, it's the vernal equinox. But anyway, let me be clear. Today is theoretically the first day of spring. And whether it's today, tomorrow, or the next day, I cannot help but understand that you are confused. I'm just going to let you know that when it's springtime, most normal people want to like clean their gutters out and do things like that. I want you to clean up your financial life. And if you need help doing that, all you need to do is give us a holler. Go to our website, jillonmoney.com. Click the Contact Us button. Please let us know if you would be willing to come on the air. Now, Mark, if people actually sign up for Jill on Money Live right this second, will they be able to join us tonight for Cal Newport or not?
Yeah, if they do it, I would say if they do it by mid-afternoon, they should be fine.
Let's give them a hard out there. So let's say you got to do this by 1 o'clock Eastern time. If you would like to join us for our Cal Newport webinar tonight, and that is basically you forking over $35 in order to subscribe to Jill on Money Live. That is where you have access to quarterly live webinars like the one we're conducting with productivity expert Cal Newport tonight and three more. So you get 12 months of this. Plus, you get to go to last year's catalog. Plus, there is going to be lots more video content that lives behind the paywall. So how about that? Pretty good, right? I thought so. I knew you'd like it. Anyway, let's do this, Mark. It is time for us to turn to our listener today. Today, we are joined by Patty, who is on the line from North Carolina. Hi, Patty. Hello, and welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Of course. What can we do for you?
Well, I recently have inherited some cash, some money, and brokerage accounts. My husband died about a year and a half ago. It took a while for the estate to settle, and I have an inheritance now. I also have a little nest egg of my own, and I've got it scattered, it seems, all over the universe. You know, I've been reading financial books left and right. I've been listening to your show and others, and I'm not sure how to proceed and what I need to do to grow and protect this asset that I suddenly have.
So I'm so sorry about that. It's very weird that it is like I have a pile of money and the reason is a terrible reason. And I'm sorry about that.
Yes.
That stinks. Okay. So first of all, Patty, how old are you?
I am 65.
Let's start with number one. Are you working right now?
Yes.
How much do you earn?
Last year I earned $205,000.
Wow, that's a lot. Are you employed by a company or are you self-employed?
I'm self-employed.
Oh, congratulations. Very good. Do you put money into a retirement plan on your own behalf?
I'm putting it in a SEP IRA.
Okay. So let's start with that big bucket. In your SEP IRA, how much money is in there?
$296
in a SEP. Okay. Do you also have a traditional IRA, just an old one that's floating around for yourself?
I have a couple small inherited ones. Mm-hmm. And yes, I do. I have, I also have a invest, you know, at Fidelity, I have a regular brokerage account along with another simple IRA from my husband.
Okay. So what is, let's just do this methodically. So other IRAs in your name, right? Right now, what else is there? So we have 296 in the SEP. What other IRAs do you have?
Okay. I have about 39,000 in a IRA at Fidelity.
Mm-hmm. So SEP IRA 296, inherited IRA, now in your name, 39,000. The simple IRA, what's in that?
It's 35,950.
I'm going to call it 36 because I lived large like that. Okay, is that simple in his name or has it been put into your name?
I think they've all been put into my name.
Okay, good. That's good. It just cleans it up a bit. In the brokerage account, how much, and I'm sorry, let me just, before I do that, is that it for the IRAs, the SEP IRA, the traditional IRA and the simple IRA, those three?
Yes.
Okay, great. What's in the brokerage account?
Okay. I have the plain brokerage account. I have around 360.
Okay. And that is invested how?
I have stocks and ETFs.
Okay, great. And right now, who's managing that? Is that just on sort of a little bit of autopilot or is someone actually helping you manage that account?
I am doing Fidelity. Okay. And I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'll tell you that.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's don't worry. We're gonna work through this. So the brokerage account has 360 grand stocks and exchange traded funds.
Correct.
Okay. What other assets do you have that are accumulated in your name?
Okay. I have a Robinhood account, which is my play around account for 75,000.
By the way, I like that you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I have a Robinhood account with 75 grand in it. God bless you.
Yeah. I put 300 a week in there.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm literally labeling it my play around account. Okay. Continue. Yeah.
And then I have Betterment. I have a Betterment account. Hmm. Yay.
Okay.
And that's got $17,000 in it.
So you said did you say 300 a month or a week into Robinhood?
It gets $50 a week, I think.
All right. Okay. So now what else do you have? Do you have some saving play around accounts? You've got brokerage accounts. Do you have some savings or CDs or safe money that's popped aside?
Oh, I've got a lot of it.
Okay.
I do. And see, this is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a Premier money market account.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say 1.2 million in there.
Wait a minute. You have a 1.2 million in a money market account. Is that at Fidelity?
No, it's at a bank.
Okay.
And I know that's bad. You know, I want that's my highest priority is to do something with that.
Okay, fair enough. What else besides the money market? Any CDs?
Yes, I have one at Alliant Credit Union, 12-month CD for $200,000.
Okay.
I've got another money market in another bank for $388,000.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I've got, in my regular savings and checking accounts, I have about 400,000.
Okay. I mean, you got plenty of cash. I'm excited because there should be no problems for you going forward in terms of what will fund your future. So we have that.
Yes.
Do you have kids?
I have two kids. They're grown.
And they're fine on their own?
Yes.
Okay, good. You own your own home?
Yes.
What would you guess it's worth?
Probably about 1.5 million.
Is there a mortgage that remains on it?
Yes.
And how much?
About 300.
Do you know the interest rate offhand?
It's about little under 4%.
Okay. Is there a second home?
There are three other houses that are rental properties.
Oh my gosh. Do you like having these properties?
I love having those properties.
You know what you're doing. You're good. You can manage this. Okay.
Yeah.
So of these three properties, do they all have mortgages on them?
Yes.
Okay. And they're working well, they're generating income. There's like, what would you say the monthly income that the rentals will generate? On average, I know sometimes one is vacant and what, but in general, what's the monthly income?
Okay. It's not as much as it should be.
Why are you a pushover and you let your tenants take advantage of you?
No, it's just for years I didn't raise their rent enough, but I've learned that lesson. Mm. But I would say after all expenses, mm-hmm. they're probably generating about $2,300.
That's great. Do you have any other sources of income besides this monthly income? Any, like, I don't know if your husband had a pension or anything like that. If there any other money that's coming in right now?
Okay. I'm getting spousal social security and that's about $31,000 a year. I think they might have just upped it to 32.
Okay.
But then they take, Medicare out of that.
Right. What's your game plan for work wise? Like, what do you think, how much longer are you going to be earning money? I mean, I know you said last year was a particularly good year, but let's say that if it was an average year, would it be more like instead of 200, more like 150?
150 to 100, probably.
100 to 150. How much longer should we count on that?
I would say at least to 70 or 72.
God, I love you. I don't know what you do, but I love this. This is great.
I enjoy working.
Oh, that's good. It's good to have something to do, especially when you have that kind of tragedy. It's like, what do you sit home and just feel awful? You can just feel awful and make a few bucks along the way. It's not a bad distraction, right?
Yes. No. It's a good distraction.
Good. All right. So you got rental income. You have spousal social security, which, I assume that it's about $3,000 a month, but when you get all the stuff taken out, it's probably more like $2,500 a month is my guess. After $2,400 a month, right? Could you live on $2,300 and $2,400? Like, what do you need to live on?
Well, right now I'm bleeding money.
Why is that?
Because the house that I'm living in needs a lot of things. It needs windows. It needs water heaters, roof. So I've got to, spend money on this house.
Okay. But that's like a capital improvement, right? I mean, those are not things like I'm buying a new couch.
Yeah.
How much work do you think needs to get done? I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of experience. You have rental properties. What do you suspect out of all the cash you have? What should we make sure is set aside for house stuff?
Oh, I would say, probably 25 to 30.
All right. If you say 30, I feel like I'm going to say 40 just for the heck of it. We need to keep $40,000 out for the house. So that's not bleeding money. That's saying I am making an investment in this $1.5 million asset that I own, which to me makes a lot of sense. Now, forgetting about those extraordinary expenses, what do you think your ongoing expenses are to live the life of Patty? Like, what does it cost you for the mortgage and the property insurance and your utilities and going out and having some vacations? Like, what do you think you need on an annual or a monthly basis?
Okay. I've been tracking my expenses.
Okay.
And, the rental properties all take care of themselves.
Yes.
But recently it's been around $10,000 a month.
I love how your voice went down. Like, you're embarrassed. What do I care? $10,000 a month. Yeah. Say it proudly. That's okay. So come on. Don't worry about it. So let's just be clear that out of the $10,000 a month, you have, the money that's coming out of the rentals, $2,300 a month. You have the $2,400 a month from the spousal social security benefit. So it's about half of what you need. So that's great. And you make a ton of money. This is actually very good news in that, A, you're going to keep working. B, you have plenty of money. There's nothing bad that's going to happen to you, not financially. So here's my question. You have your fun money accounts. Would you say that it would be helpful if you had a financial advisor to assist you in consolidating and getting money invested. Is that something that you think you want to tackle yourself, or do you think you'd rather have professional help?
Oh, I definitely need professional help. Now, here's my thing, though. I've been reading all these books. I've been listening. And everybody says, don't give a percentage of your portfolio away every year. And you know, I have had somebody at Edward Jones who I've not been happy with.
Okay. So you've had one bad experience. You're nervous about paying for additional bad experience. You know, additional bad advice. I don't agree with that. Don't pay for advice. I just want to be clear. I really don't. Okay. I think the reason is that, first of all, there are times in your life where it is very helpful to have somebody organize your life, do planning for you, help you invest. That's very obvious to me. And you've just gone through this seismic event in your life. So, you know, the question really becomes, should I pay for that as like one-time help, right? I could pay a fixed amount, like I could pay someone $10,000 to give me a plan and I'll go execute the plan. That's possible, right? Or you could say, you know, I have a lot of money. Is it being a little bit naive to say that I refuse to spend 1% or 0.5% or 0.75% of my money on an annual basis when I, you know, essentially, let me just add this up. This is a lot of money, 6.18. So you have like 2.234, like you have $2.5 million. I mean, I think it's great if you want to do it on your own. I truly believe that if people feel confident in their ability to get things done, then sure, you can do it on your own. This is, you know, you don't have a huge financial planning need as much as you have an organization and get busy kind of need. If you're feeling scattered, it's also because you have, as my friend, the widow, Andrea likes to say, that she has widow brain, that like there's a lot of stuff that happens in the aftermath where you're just not yourself. And it's hard to get a lot of the basics of your life managed, you know, but you're a professional and you're self-employed and you're running your business and you're able to do that. So I'm not saying you must have professional help. I'm not saying that you don't need professional help. I would maybe think about if that would be something that you could use just, you know, either as a one-off or maybe for a few years until you want to take it over yourself. You know, I don't know. I put it out there as a possibility. When I look at this situation and you have someone with all this cash on hand, we need a game plan to get it invested. We know that in the savings and checking that you have way too much money. You have too much money in the money market accounts. How do we get that invested? And where should you get that invested? If you did it yourself at Fidelity, it's not so difficult to imagine that we could build a portfolio with 4 or 5 different index funds, make sure that you had some money that was safe stuff because, you know, you never know, like you don't want to necessarily be on the ride of being on a full stock market ride, but you would get this done and you could do it yourself. I think that you could certainly do this on your own, but I also think it is perfectly reasonable to say, I need someone to hire me to, I'm going to hire somebody to do this. And it doesn't have to be forever. You can even say to somebody like, I'd like to hire, I need to get you this done. It's important. And instead of, it's almost like renting versus owning. You know, if you hear from somebody like, oh, I'm renting, I'm throwing my money out the window. Well, no, you're getting something in return for that. There is convenience. You have your money to work for you. For you, it might be, I'd rather hire somebody, get this to work, pay up a little bit for the next couple of years to make sure it's done professionally. And then I can take it over myself if I want. I think we have to have a game plan to get your assets consolidated and then also to make sure that you are putting your money to work. So you have a brokerage account at Fidelity right now. It's in some stocks and ETFs. Could you, say, put $100,000 a month into that account and start dollar cost averaging from your money market accounts? Could you do that? Do you feel comfortable doing that?
Yes. Part of what I've got over there in Fidelity is I have funds just sitting there as well. 200,000 is not even invested yet. I definitely need help with the investing.
So I think that you could, you know, again, there's two different ways to pay for help. One is to say, I want to hire somebody to give me a game plan, and the other is to hire an advice giver. And I think that it is reasonable to try to hire someone to get that help. I just want that person to be truly focused on you and not sell you crap you don't need. I do think it would be helpful if we could connect you with somebody who could help you manage your money. We're going to hook you up with somebody. Now, you've just gone through this horrible situation. Do you have your estate planning done?
No, that's a high priority on my list as well.
Okay. Do you have an attorney?
I had an estate attorney who yep. charged me way too much money. So, but I can get a different attorney.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you don't have a complicated estate, but you have to get it done, right?
Yeah.
I actually sense that having a human being will be helpful to you. I really do.
Yes.
And so I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to do a little like, hang on, because I would like to connect you with a couple of different people. You may find, Patty, you need somebody. Maybe you do it. You know, someone just pointed this out to me that it was a good thing that they had somebody while they were still working. But as they were considering retirement and they wanted that person's help, it was great. And then they took it over themselves. They started doing their own. They just, it was almost like their avocation. Then again, yeah. Of course, you got cognitively, you're going to go into the tubes with the rest of us and you need someone to help you then. But maybe your kids are good. Are your good kids good with money?
One of them is better than the other one. Yes.
I love the little giggle. Okay. Hang on, Patty. We're going to give you some help that you maybe you want to pay for. And it's a big number. You're right. I get it. 1% is like a big number to have to pay. But I think in your situation with the level of assets, we have to think of it more like, if I pay one, I'm just giving you, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be one, but if I paid 1% a year, isn't that better than leaving all this money in cash? Like, wouldn't I be smarter to get this money to work? And it's hard for me to imagine how I would do it myself. So therefore, I will pay for that help. And I think that's when it can really make sense. Again, as long as someone's not selling you some crap that you don't need, really. That's the big, you know, make sure you don't do that. So hang on, Patty, and I want to thank you again, and I am so sorry for your loss. All right. If you, like Patty, have had this life-changing event, then we would like to hear from you. All you need to do is go to our website, jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, and let us know what's going on and whether you would be willing to come on the air. Now, while you're on the website, don't forget, you got to check out the YouTube show, Jill on Money, powered by The Compound. That's our video stuff. It's all there. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter every Friday. Mark does a great job. And subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. All right. Lift someone up. Someone needs a little boost in their lives today. It's going to make that person feel good. And it's going to make you feel good. Hey, it's spring. Come on. You could do that. Change your work. Change your wealth. Change your life. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.